The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
Had a pretty uneventful weekend, so I don't really need to get into it. Although I did wake up this morning, Tommy, to my dog crapping on the floor. So I don't know what's going on.
This is a sign of good luck in Haiti, I guess.
You know, this has been an ongoing thing. So if anybody's listening that might be a dog whisperer or have any idea, because this has just started, it has not been a recurring thing. There's never been this issue. But literally, Tommy, I will take him out. Walk him around the complex.
Mm-hmm.
For 10, 15 minutes, bring him back into that apartment, and then it's like he's doing it out of spite. And I have no answers. John L. Smith would say, I have no answers.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do. So if there's anybody listening that can help me with this problem, mm-hmm. I am open to.
You walking for how long?
Whatever. About 10 to 15 minutes.
I'd say 20 is the number then.
I guess so. But he shows no sign of things like that. He doesn't show signs that, oh, he has to use the... I mean, I feel like our relationship, we can see each other's cues. And, you know, I don't know if he's rebelling.
You're missing something.
Yeah, maybe he's upset at me for something. Is he going through his teenage years? I don't know. I have no idea. So that's what I got to wake up to this morning. Happy Monday to everybody out there. So that was fun to fight off. But either way. Besides that, though, it was a pretty great weekend. And it's, wow, a mere 12 days away, college football.
Yeah.
Razorback football, 12 days. They said, you know, we have college football, I guess, technically this weekend.
Say there is some college football this coming weekend, but do we really count that?
See, that's the thing. I don't. Maybe I'm mean by that. Maybe it's because I'm really just looking forward to the big games, but I don't care about that.
Colorado State's playing, so we do a little scouting.
I guess there's that.
That's a good point, Ty.
Yeah. So at least gives you something to watch, or at least something to be motivated to watch.
Will their coach Mike Bobo be there?
Don't know.
Got any health update on him and his neuropathy?
Mm-mm. You know, he made a statement coming out just saying thank you for all the support and the prayers and all of that, but there hasn't been really any updates since then.
Listen, have we really reached a low of the program? We're really got to keep an eye on the health and whether the head coach of the Colorado State Rams is going to be there for the game, hoping that will give us the edge to win that game. I'm afraid that's where we're at, though, right now.
I think we are, Tommy. Yeah. I mean, you're trying to look for any type of advantage
exactly.
or any reason to be able to be successful in any game. Because even if this was the Eastern Illinois coach, we'd have to give you updates
right.
on it. And just because you never know what this team's going to look like, you don't know really what's going on with it. Oh, and by the way, the Colorado State plays Hawaii. If you want to watch that one, other games going on this weekend is UMass. And I'm going to be embarrassed because I don't know how to say that team's name. D-U-Q-U-E-S-N-E.
Queens, I believe it is.
The Queens?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with that.
I've seen that before, but
yes.
I'm not going to swear I would be 1,000% accurate.
I've seen it too, but I've never had to pronounce it. Prairie View and Rice in Wyoming and New Mexico State. So pick your poison there when it comes to the game.
You should have just sold it from the top row, though.
Yeah, just could have rolled
no
with
one
it.
No one would have questioned
nope,
you.
Nope, just going through in stride, that's for sure. So, but there is that game that's going on, too.
Duquesne.
Yeah.
UMass is playing Duquesne.
I can't even click. Like, I'm looking at ESPN.com. I can't even click on their team. They don't even have a team page. So I couldn't even look at it to see, oh, maybe they have a pronunciation or anything like that. Nothing. Nothing at all. So
it would be like someone playing UA Monticello. You think they get Monticello or Ouachita? That would be even better. A better example. How many times you think of someone from, you know, if Ouachita's in one of these preseason basketball exhibition games, I bet no one gets Ouachita right.
Uacha?
Yeah.
Uachita?
What? Ouachita? Oh, you know.
Yeah, they wouldn't know how to pronounce it.
Of course, we can't even say it wrong, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm sure
they get Ouachita Baptist wrong all the time.
Yeah. Hey, we're not the only ones getting things wrong, okay? So pronunciation can be tough, especially when you have weird names like those names to go through. But, yeah, you have college football this weekend, but, of course, we're all getting revved up for the Razorback football season. Just a mere 12 days away. It's hard to believe that we're at this point. There was a lot of things that were discussed over the weekend from Chad Morris and his staff dealing with some of the players. You know, There's a few things we're going to talk about throughout the show, and Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback, is going to join us, as well as Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette around 7:30. So we'll get his thoughts and opinions also on fall camp. But if you want an update on the quarterback situation, which I know I do, and everybody else does, here's what Chad Morris has to say on the latest.
I think some guys got pushed each other again today. I don't think coming straight out of the scrimmage, you just say one guy just stood out or didn't do as well as we thought. I mean, there wasn't anything in there that said he was had a great day or in a bad day. I think that they were pretty consistent today, and I was pleased to see that with all of them today.
That really wasn't an answer that got you anywhere. Yeah. So it's probably been quid pro quo, but here – you have at least a little bit of glimmer when it comes to who's naming the starter.
If it's not the end of the week, it'll be the first of next week. We're going to go up there and evaluate and sit down and talk and kind of go back and look and visit and have discussions and see how this week goes. I really don't have, like, I got to have it done by Friday at 2 o'clock. I haven't done that.
So yeah. It looks like he's wanting to name a starter, but doesn't mean he for sure will name a starter.
Tells me it truly is that close. Tells me also on the other side of that coin, no one has truly pulled themselves away or edged themselves out, or at least as he talked about in his 20 or so minutes with the media on Saturday, they've ended this phase of technically fall camp because now classes begin today, so it gets into a two-week period of game prep mode where you're going into your regular season mode of afternoon practices, evening practice type work. That really no one through this portion of the camp has done anything to stand out at that position. So either it's that even, that close, or it's just that mediocre. He doesn't kind of really give you a clue either way as to what he's thinking, but it's real consistent, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I thought, just listening to him and Craddock and on hitthatline.com, we've got Chavis and Craddock and Morris from the weekend and a few of the other players. And just listening to all three, and particularly Craddock and Morris for this next comment I'm about to make, I thought it was interesting how they, we talk about offensive line and needing to find playmakers there. They talked about a couple things, dialing back running backs, but needing to find playmakers at wide receivers. And when I say dialing back the running backs, you're talking about the praise of the running backs, and they had to have I think he put it, quote, come to Jesus meeting on the mm-hmm. sideline with the running backs this Saturday and get them kind of back into the lane they wanted them in. So we focused so much on these quarterbacks, but Craddock was real quick. Hey, we got to find some wide receivers to get open. That's a quote from his comments. We better find some guys that get open. So you can think about all these offensive linemen. You can think about naming a starting quarterback. There are still other places that we don't focus enough on that there's no standout either, and wide receiver is one of them. Running back, there's no standout at this point, but it's for other reasons because you got better competition there, but they're still battling and challenging those guys and having to push the right buttons. So, and then I don't think they're any closer to finding the five guys on the offensive line either. I don't know whether to be more worried or less worried after 40 minutes of listening to audio from Saturday in a practice that we didn't get to watch again.
Well, that's essentially the problem, isn't it? Standing out. They don't have standouts right now.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Across the board. And like you said, is the competition that strong? Is it just because those players are neck and neck? Obviously, with the wide receivers, they're wanting to find guys to get open. With the quarterbacks, they want somebody that can just be the same guy every single day and take that next step forward. With the offensive line, they're just trying to find which group of guys work with which group. And when you hear those things, it's like, okay, that's, I guess, could be good for competition, but could it just be in the fact that they just don't have anybody that's good enough?
And
they got decent players, but no one that's just great enough to take that step forward.
And both coordinators in their, not defense, but just coming back and saying what they said, both were in the box on Saturday because mm-hmm. it was a game-like environment that they were trying to create. So both were in the press box. The coaches were trying to practice game day communications. So both kept giving answers, which is understandable. Need to go back and look at the film. Not sure. Don't remember that, because they were asked. There was three interceptions, and Chavis was asked about who made them, and Santos Ramirez was one. But there wasn't a quick recollection on those plays. And then when Craddock was asked about who threw the interceptions, he wasn't real quick to one of the plays he could remember. He thought that Story had thrown one, and he wasn't sure about one play at all, and he was trying to remember another. So I had to go back and watch the film up in the box, trying to focus on some other things. So, you know, some of the recollection of the practice in particular plays wasn't what it's been up to this point in camp because the practice was different,
mm-hmm.
Well, I think, particularly for Chavis and Craddock.
But you don't think any of that's on purpose?
That's the frustration for me at this point. Yeah,
because he probably knew the plays. I don't know one way
or
the other.
Is he protecting players or does he?
Yeah, maybe he's just coming out and saying, you know, I didn't see it. I got to watch it. Because what are you going to say in rebuttal to that?
I agree. But is that calculated, perhaps? Or is it also you got a new staff and you got new GAs and new people you're trying to communicate mm-hmm. on headsets with, and you got a couple more game day-like practices in order to get that down before your first game?
Mm-hmm. Could absolutely be that. There's a lot of different reasons, a lot of different ways to go in through it as well.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skipping. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Go to the phone lines. We are joined by former Razorback quarterback Tyler Wilson. Tyler, how's it going this morning, my man?
Going good, fellas. Good weekend of some sports, and then we're a weekend away from watching Razorback football.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, that's for sure. We have a few things that we've been talking about from Chad Morris and some of his coaching staff that they made comments over the weekend and dealing with the Saturday scrimmage. And we'll get to that. But one of the things I wanted to bring up with you that we were discussing in the previous segment is how Chad Morris brought in a lot of former players over the weekend to watch practice, to watch scrimmage, had a barbecue for him, had a big event for him. And, you know, I think that's awesome when coaches do that, and especially when they're genuine about it. And I just want to ask you, as a former player, how important is it for a program like Arkansas to make sure that they have former players involved as much as possible with the mm-hmm. program?
One of the, I think, most important things, and as a former player, I don't know how involved I have felt over the last 5 years, to be completely honest. I think with this staff and the new ideas and philosophies of Hunter Yurecek, I think that has been their mission objective, is to involve past players. Now, I think it's also the players' responsibility and former players' responsibility to take advantage of those opportunities. Kind of shame to say that I wasn't there this weekend, but I think just the involvement, at least making the step and allowing those opportunities to exist and happen, and making former players feel as though they're welcome in the door is absolutely huge, and they've definitely made that a priority of theirs.
As you watched the video of Coach Morris talk about practice and Coach Craddock and Coach Chavis from this weekend, what were some of your takeaways, particularly as they talk about maybe getting closer, maybe by a week or so from now, naming a starting quarterback?
Well, that's been the topic of conversation this entire offseason is quarterback play, and that's what we all want to hear. I think what I've communicated to you maybe off the air, Tommy and John, is I could see this thing being Ty Story. And I think there's a number of things that lead me to believe that it could be Ty. I might be dead wrong. They might name Cole Kelly the guy, and that'd be fine. I think whatever direction they go is a positive for this football team to understand an identity and get everybody headed in the same direction and say, this is our guy moving forward. But all indications at this point in my philosophy is that's a positive. And if it's Ty Story, then great. I think he brings a lot of attributes. I think he gets the ball out of his hand very quickly. I think he throws the ball down the football field very accurately. If it's Cole Kelly, you know, I think he brings some other attributes to the table. So, you know, whatever direction they go, I think it will be a positive for this football team to move forward with a guy.
Former Razorback quarterback Tyler Wilson is joining us right now on the Morning Rush. Tyler, one of the things that I know Coach Craddock talked about, as well as Chad Morris will talk about too, is when they're brought up about certain plays or maybe an interception that was thrown by a quarterback or a play that they had during the scrimmages, they always come back and say, well, I'll have to look at the film. I don't know much about that. I got to look at the film. Is that more just them kind of just telling us that they don't really want to give us too much detail about what's going on? Or is it something like that where they actually do have to break down the film before they can really give a solid answer on what the quarterback was doing and what they were looking like in that situation?
Yeah, I think that's a good philosophy to have as a coach. And, you know, I use that a lot as a player in post-game press conferences, and would use that same I'd use that same excuse in some cases, because, you know, there's a lot of things that happen, and it happens so fast that even if you're on the sideline or you're in the press box or even you're pulling the trigger on the field, you know, there's a lot of things that I think go into deciding and critiquing, you know, somebody. And when you can do it in slow motion and see everything that's involved, maybe it changes your mindset a little bit on one thing or another, or a play that quarterback made that you said, I was pretty hard on him on the field. I was hard on him on the sideline. But, man, going back and looking on tape, man, it wasn't fully his fault. We got some receiver didn't run through through the ball on the catch or you know, he was getting pressure, you know, on his left side as he was throwing the football. All of those things are things that I think you critique and can see in slow motion that you have no idea happened at full speed.
Tyler Wilson with us here on this Hot Take Monday, brought to you by Crabtree RVR. Okay, classes begin today. I guess technically camp is over. Now you got 2 weeks to get ready for game one. How does that change things as far as the way practice goes, your mindset as a player? You got classes to deal with. The schedule is all obviously different. So what are you thinking now as a player, now that the camp portion is over and you begin kind of the afternoon practices and you get into a routine, if you will?
Yeah, I think that's really, really good. You know, it's your, to me, your schedule for the next, 14 weeks, 13 weeks, hopefully you're involved in the ball game, right? So, you know, those getting in the routine is so important as a player. What time am I getting up every morning? What time am I going to my first class? What time am I getting to the hot tub? What time am I getting to the weight room? And having that routine, and this, you know what, it's different for every player. It's not like every one of these players have the same routine. They've got similar routines, but they don't have the same. And so for every player, it's trying to find what works for them. And for the freshmen, they're finding that routine for the first time. So, you know, I think as you get to this point in this stage of trying to create the best routine that works for you week in and week out for that, you know, 12, 13 period, time frame is instrumental, and I think now the coaches can they've kind of got away from camp mode and they can get into their in season mode, and they're getting into their routines as well.
The mentality of this team is what I'm going to be fascinated by. But leading up into the first game of the season, you had a lot of first games of the season. Obviously, one is just being a backup quarterback and then being the starter quarterback for Arkansas. What kind of, was it nervousness more of getting into that first game? Was it anxious? Was it excitement? I mean, what's kind of the mentality of a player when they're getting ready for that first game, even if they're a starter or not a starter, if they have a chance to play?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I can remember really my junior and senior year both being starters, and I knew the first game was, and I think all players know the first game's huge. As a junior, my philosophy was, man, I've got to go out and prove that, yeah, I earned the job. They named me the starter, but I got to go prove that I am the starter. You know, so if one of these guys or any of these guys that are named and showing up on the starting roster, they're going to prove that they not only earned it at camp, but they earned it in the game when it mattered. And that's good. But as a senior, my whole philosophy was different. I'd already earned the position. In a lot of ways, had a really good year, so coming in. But the expectations now were as a team. not just specifically myself and my role, but as a team. How did we show up? And, you know, the fan base is judging you very, very hard on the first game. And I think they use that as a benchmark of what your season can be. They reassess you and they reevaluate all expectations, and that's a lot of pressure. So you got to come out and play as good a game as you can play, I think, early on in game one. And that's the pressure that I felt. So, you know, those are things I think all of these guys are going through. And there's no question you feel jitters in the first game as much as any of them.
Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback. Always appreciate you joining us, Tyler. I know that you got a lot going on today, but hopefully we'll be able to catch up with you on Wednesday, my man.
Sounds good. We'll be on Wednesday, Friday. See you guys later on this week.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
The very first Arkansas Razorback football game. 3 p.m. kick. Going to be a fun-filled game. Hopefully it's not too hot. I have a bad feeling it's going to be, because that's just the way that the weather works in Razorback fans' favor. It's either going to be pouring rain or it's going to be extremely hot, one of the two. They can't have nice things. But there's plenty of tickets available for the game, too, just to let everybody know. Checking out StubHub. You can get in the game for $10.
Even some tickets in the new north end zone, right?
That's correct.
I've seen that online where some, you know, I guess some of the chairback seating, not the suites, but the chairback seating is available.
Yeah, they have some of that available. So if you want to go to the game, want to check it out, you can find a way in. You can get some lower deck seats even. That's not in the north end zone for roughly $30. So there's ways to get into the games, and hopefully
this is always a sensational. You can get in for $5. Well, yeah, if you want to sit in the top row of the upper deck.
Okay. If you want to get in that desperately to Eastern Illinois, then
I would imagine you can get in for free if you stood on the sidewalk and somebody would just give you a ticket that they can't get rid of.
Yeah. Always love the guy that was it that they tape or tie or whatever, just tape tickets to a stop sign. Holding him out there so someone can come up and take them.
You need that extra ticket now. I mean, you need a smoke, what they call a smoking ticket. Because if you want to leave to go smoke a cigarette, you're going to need another ticket to get back in with these new, you know, SEC policies. You know, you can't leave now and come back in. There's no readmittance. So, you know, these are the games you got to have a smoking ticket, they call it.
Yeah. Be nice. I'm curious to see how many people will show up to the first game, though. I'm going to start taking some over-unders on the attendance.
It won't be a full house.
No. Not at all. But can they get 70?
I think it will legitimately be in the 60s, like 65,000.
Okay. That's fair. I can see it.
Particularly because it doesn't look like right now the weather's going to be blistering hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't looked as far out. It didn't look like there was like a high chance of rain for Saturday. So that's not going to be, although we've had nothing but rain lately. And I think there's excitement and intrigue about the new coach, the new offense. I think there's people that want to see the new look stadium. You know, so there are multiple reasons why people would want to show up for the first game. Opponent not being one of them.
As of right now, Saturday's weather is a high of 87 and sunny.
Right.
Should be about as good of a weather as you could ask for a college football game to start on a 3 p.m. kick in September.
September 1.
Very late August is basically what it is.
The last day of August, even though it's not the last day of August.
Yeah, late August. So hopefully the weather holds out, and it should be a fun time, and I know everybody is looking forward to that and really excited about it. So, well, we didn't get a chance to go around the SEC, but we're going to go around the SEC now as we have some storylines to get into. So without further ado, let's get into it.
You love the game. We love the game. That's why we bring you the latest from across the conference, your favorite teams, the big matchups, the breaking news. Get your college game on. Time to go around the SEC.
All right, going around the SEC, a few storylines to get into. LSU's been having a tough offseason, man. LSU wide receiver Drake Davis was arrested on a second-degree battery charge Friday night and has been suspended indefinitely by the team. He's a junior. He has committed a battery against a woman he was dating on four occasions from May 2017 to this past June, according to the arrest warrant issued Friday by LSU and police.
Well, you know, we say here at least it wasn't an offensive lineman. I guess there they say at least it wasn't a quarterback. So, you know.
That's so. I mean, they've been having about as rough a go as anybody when it comes to the offseason. And just players getting injured,
particularly
getting hurt,
with,
transferring.
Particularly with the quarterback position.
I'm not scared of LSU at all. I'm not saying Arkansas is going to beat them, but they just don't scare on me.
I agree with you, but athlete for athlete, right, they still match up well.
Absolutely.
And the problem is Arkansas never scares anybody right now. So even when Vanderbilt or Ole Miss or any – Arkansas seems gettable for anybody.
Yeah.
So everybody gets up a little bit for Arkansas, except maybe even the great teams, because they know, hey, this is a game we got to win. And Arkansas honestly reached a point right now where it's an indictment on you as a coach and a program if you lose right now, particularly this particular season. So, yeah.
Does Ed Orgeron even make it after this year?
I don't know why everybody's been having this conversation like, Ed O's going to get fired mid-year. I don't see that happening either.
I mean, I think it would have to be extreme circumstances for that to happen.
Oh, yeah, it'd have to be really bad.
Like, we're talking about all-time epic failure of epic proportions type of deal. I don't know if it's going to be that case. But you got to admit, though, it doesn't look good for old Coach O and what LSU is expecting and what they feel like they should have in every facet. I just don't like his chances, I guess. It's sad to say, because he's probably the only personality that we can have we can sit there and laugh at and have fun with. So I don't know. Tough schedule for him, too.
Starts with Miami. And
that game's in Miami, too, if I'm not mistaken.
You go on the road and you beat Auburn September 15th, and a lot of things and a lot of perceptions change about you.
So two of the games big, in their first three up. Weeks – is at Miami and at Auburn.
Mm-hmm. He starts out 3-0, 4-0 with Louisiana Tech, 5-0 with a win over Ole Miss. He ain't going nowhere.
No,
that's a big if.
Yeah, huge if, but it's big for them to see how it's going to play out. By the way, did you see the I don't even think it's an argument, the best quote Nick Saban has ever dropped in a press conference?
Lay it on us.
It was pretty fantastic, talking about when players get hurt.
Whatever happens, we just another player. And everything's going to be perfect. All of our fans think that. You all think that. That's what you write about. That's the message that you send out there. Yeah, I worry about it all the time.
Is that true? Is that how you look at it, Tommy? That when Alabama has a player go down, that they just out another player?
Well, that's what the recruiting rankings tell me. The recruiting rankings tell me that it's just the next five-star up, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of believe that, yeah.
When he said that, I laughed because I'm like, oh, and then I was like, wait. That's actually what I believe.
Yeah, it is what I believe, because how many players on their 85-man are below a four-star? I don't know that number.
Have they ever given a scholarship to a three-star player?
Right, right. I'm just saying, out of the 85, are there 15 players that are a three-star?
I wouldn't say no.
I bet there's zero two-stars on their roster.
Oh, without a doubt. No, there's no two-stars.
Zero.
And three-stars that may be on there is walk-ons. That's how ridiculous I think that their roster is.
But I'm talking about
up.
Scholarship
how
players.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. You're talking about walk-ons. I'm talking about scholarship players.
Yeah. But see, but that's what I'm saying, that the only three-stars that they probably have are like walk-on type players, like guys that they just need to fill some spots, be practice squad and whatnot. But that's just funny, because that's how I look at it. That's why I believe it's true, is because of how they get – because every team goes through injuries. They have injuries. They have suspensions. They have things going on in their program that happen at every other program, but it does not matter. Mm-hmm. Their quarterback in the national championship game is playing like crap. In the national championship game, let's just throw in this guy that's never played a snap all season long, at least a meaningful one.
Mm-hmm.
Come from behind and they win the national championship. Who else can do that? Who else has that? But the fact that Nick Saban thinks that that's just, oh, I can't believe y'all think that what's happening. Of course, that's what happens. We see it every year. But I think his phraseology is what made it so perfect and so funny.
Yeah.
Of doing it that way.
Yeah, he has a couple of those a year where he
just
goes off
up.
The rails a little bit.
And because he get and he gets away with it because he's Nick Saban, right? Because, you know, there's other coaches that if they dropped expletives, they'd be like, oh, can't deal with this.
Went through us like bleep through a tin horn. Yeah, there's a few of them that stand out.
And he's smart about it because he makes it funny. Like, that's the thing, is he knows how to make it funny. Because I've never heard of that phrase before until Nick Saban dropped it. And it's the same way here. He's just, y'all just think that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, we do.
Because it's true.
Because it's 100% true. And there's no question about it. A few things more before we get out of here, too, and dealing with the SEC. The anonymous coaches, I don't know if I like this when anonymous coaches come out and they speak against certain coaches and just speak candidly about some of them. A couple of them were about SEC coaches, and I thought this was really fascinating. First off, with Nick Saban. An anonymous coach says, if you had the number one recruiting class in the country every year, he shows up at every single game with a better roster than the teams he's playing. If you count cheating and getting the best players in the country as part of running a program, then yeah, he's the best in the country. It's like saying an NFL coach is the best in the league if he gets 25 first-round picks every year. Cheating. Accusing Nick Saban of cheating.
No, I don't think he cheats. I think he doesn't need to.
I don't think he does, but...
No, I don't think he does either.
You don't think there may be some times, though, when the five-star player let him have a vehicle... Something like that. You know, you don't think one just slips?
I don't think he has to.
Okay.
I think.
I mean, I don't think he does either, but surely there's been an occasion.
Because what do these players want more than anything, guys? What's the one thing they're after?
Money.
Nope.
That's what I think.
NFL.
Well, yeah.
They want to get to the league. And who's the most proven?
Nick Saban.
Program, the most proven coach to get you to the next level. That's he doesn't need to give cars and cash.
Mm-hmm.
You want to play in the NFL? You come to Alabama. It's the most proven direct path to the NFL there is in college sports.
You guys have heard that Pat Riley story, right? Where he's recruiting players, free agents, and he just shows them the rings that they want in Miami. Nick Saban does the exact same thing.
Exactly.
He just rolls the college rings out, and he said, "But do you want to come here and compete for championships?"
But I don't think it's as much for these five-star, these real elite of elite guys. It's not about the rings.
Mm-mm.
I mean, you can talk about winning national championships and everyone's going to tell you publicly that's important. That's not what's at their heart, at their core, the most important thing. What's the most important thing for them? Being a first-round draft choice and getting the most money guaranteed in their first contract.
Yep.
That's what's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
In their quiet moment, laying in their bed at night in their dorm room, that's what's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And who can get you there the best? Nick Saban.
Does Calipari cheat?
Of course.
Of course it is. There we go. We had to make sure that somebody who's getting all these players is doing some type of shady business, and
of course,
can always count on John Calipari to be that.
We weren't talking about him, though.
I know. I wanted to throw it in there because anytime I can take a little jab at John Calipari in the Kentucky basketball program, I'm going to make sure that I take advantage of that.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.